Beloved, this is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be absolutely glad in it. This is the Building People podcast, where we're having edifying conversations about life, ministry, and culture. I am your host, Derek J. Murphy. And before we get to anything else, let's have a quick praise report. As of right now, I don't sell ad time. So when I do praise reports like this, it's because I believe in the people and they are friends of the podcast. So with that in mind, Dr. Kimberly Ellison, former guest of this show, has released this week Promise, God's Assurance on the Cross for Our Crown. It's a book where she curates 130 voices of the Daughters of Promise to discuss the promises in scripture that can encourage you, enlighten you, and push you toward the destiny that God has for you. So I encourage you to go to drkimberlyellison.com, and don't worry, I'll put that in the show notes, so that you can get your hand on a copy of this book. Some of the authors are friends of mine, people that I know personally, and so I know these stories and these testimonies will be an encouragement to you that'll push you towards your destiny in an even greater way. So good job, Dr. Ellison, and I pray much success for the book's future. Over the next couple of episodes, you're going to hear a recurring theme about understanding your value, knowing your worth, and knowing and understanding who you are. And so if you would, allow me to read from my book, Rewriting Murphy's Law, because everything doesn't have to go wrong, from chapter 6, entitled Value. Have you ever considered the things that you value or given thought to where you find worth? Take a moment to think and be honest with yourself. Are you a shallow person? Shallow people tend to make appearances the most important thing. It is so easy to play the PR game and work an image that people routinely neglect their own reality. My wife once wrote this gem in her blog saying, "We like fairy tales. Reality is not always appealing." Looking good is never enough, and this is something you already know. Every time you dupe yourself into a good-looking situation that turns stressful, you are reminded that images hold no real value. Perhaps the real problem may be allowing others to dictate your definition of good. How many truly good things have you let go because someone else thought it didn't look good enough? It's high time we look deeper and determine our own values and live by them. At the end of the day, you only have to live with the choices you make. You really don't want to live your life full of triviality with no depth or fulfillment. Truth, love, stability, and strength are far more important than flattery, beauty, fun, and wealth. You just have to decide what's more valuable to you. Truth is, it takes courage to stand on strong values. Anybody can play at the shallow end of the pool, but it takes a real man or a real woman to launch out into the deep. 2 Timothy 3:1-5 says, "But realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these." Do yourself a favor and stick with your values. Everything that glitters isn't gold, and everything for sale isn't worth being sold. Don't allow this world to taint you and rob you of the fulfillment that comes with a deeper kind of living. Instead, lean into all those things that truly make life worth living. Building People family, I am excited, and I know I say that all the time, but today I am kind of fanning out because we have a very special guest with us today, someone who we've been following each other for a long time, but never had the opportunity to kind of just sit down and have this conversation. And so you get to be a witness to this. And I'm just so grateful to have Miss Yolanda Morant with us today. Thank you so much for joining.
Oh, you're welcome. It's my pleasure. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Coming through loud and clear. Okay. Now, we have so many different connections from her Colorado connection. My brother used to live in Colorado. Then come to find out later, the Freedom Radio, for all those that are listening on Freedom Radio, the Freedom Radio connection, just didn't know. I kind of saw the work and I figured maybe kind of sort of she was connected, just only to find out you are connected through Freedom Radio. But I'm grateful for you to be here. And first question that we always ask all of our guests, what do you do to build people and why?
So my name is Yolanda Morant. It's a lot of things, but I'm the owner and operator of Wild Praise Music and Media, which is a music and graphic firm. I started the company about 10 plus years ago. My previous pastor, my Bishop Kwesi L. Smith, helped me start my business. And so what I do is I build people, actually. I help people build a vision, make their vision come to life. Of course, I'm a, you know, singer and a worshiper, all of those things, but, you know, tell stories, help people tell their story creatively.
Creatively. Yes, you are very creative and you have a very good eye. And we're going to talk about that eye in a minute because I want to start off by talking about you as an artist. You are a singer extraordinaire.
Thank you so much.
Listen, before I get to that part, where did you start singing? How did you discover that singing gift?
So I started singing in church. As most people do. I'm a church kid all day, every day, proudly, unapologetically. So, you know, church kid, church girl. So I started singing in church. My mom sings, my whole family sings. I'm the granddaughter of 26. So my grandmother had 26 children, real and in real life. It's real. So I come from a very big family. As you can imagine, their kids had kids, and their kids had kids, and their kids had kids. So I come from a very big family, very creative. My granddaddy was a pastor. And so they sang and did all those things. So it comes very honest. My mom was pregnant with me and my upper sibling. She put a Bible on her stomach during the day and earphones at night. And so, you know, music is in my veins. So I've been singing ever since I can remember, really, about seven originally. But I started singing in church, and then my family had a quartet group. And so I sang quartet. You will never believe what I, you know, you learn to love it and then like it always, but, you know, the outfits and matching stuff. But you do learn to love it, and I have a high appreciation and high respect for it. And so, you know, then I evolved into that, into choirs, that evolved into, you know, when the praise and worship era started coming around. And so then that evolved into groups and back to choirs and back to praise and worship, then the artistry, then the, you know, overseas, and then it goes from there.
So you say you started singing very young. Did you ever have to be made to sing? Like, did they have to say, get out there and sing or else?
Yes.
Because that is my testimony. I sang reluctantly, and I testify all the time. I would cry, and the folks think I was full of the Holy Ghost, but no, I was scared. I didn't want to get up in front of folks and sing, and I think I started maybe when I was like three. My sister played piano, my brother played drums, and I was like, you know, like Michael Jackson, and I had to get out there and sing because I couldn't play an instrument yet, and I was made to sing pretty much all the way up until maybe junior high when I started trying to sing for girls. And before that, I just didn't really, it wasn't anything that I really wanted to do. But you seem, from what I hear you describe, it sounds like you kind of had a desire to, even though sometimes you had to be made to.
Well, yeah, I think there are moments, I think they're mixed all in between. So you know, most kids, when you get in trouble, I wasn't a trouble kid, in case my mom ever hears, you know, hears this. I really wasn't a trouble kid. But when I did get in trouble, my punishment was not, you know, definitely was not, you couldn't watch TV, right? Most kids get that. And my mom was country, so she definitely believes in the rod all day. So, but my other punishment, you know, sometimes was I couldn't go to choir rehearsal. Like, yeah, because I, you know, it sometimes you didn't want to sing, and there were quartet moments where I just didn't want to. I want to put on this outfit and these, and they made me. I always tell people what people see today, in truth, I believe it's really me, but it was also created in all in truth, you know. So this diva girl or whatever, no, they made me like that. They, in a very, sounds kind of weird, but I had to wear heels. That was not an option. That was definitely put this outfit on. We're all wearing the same thing, right, and you're going to wear these heels. And they made me wear them. That was not something, that was not an option I had, because that's what quartet groups do. Now, you know, today, I mean, I love it. I'm a girl, but you know, they created that. They made me into that. And I watched them. All my aunties are very, they're very classy girls. You know, I have one auntie who's very refined, and you know, she has, you know, pretty china and pretty towels, and she speaks really well. And I have another auntie who is a super diva, and she's an evangelist, and that's where the nails come in. And so they each, you know, I each have a part of them. So there were moments when I just didn't want to, you know, yeah. I want to say this vamp 85 times, which happens in quartet, right?
that's the way quartet works.
That's the way quartet works. But then there were, you know, as I got older, music became such a important part of my life, you know, that seriously, my punishment was you cannot go to rehearsal. I was a part of a community choir for a very long time. And when I got in trouble, whatever that was, whether it was homework or whatever, oh yeah, you can't go to rehearsal. Call her and tell her you ain't coming.
See, I would have been glad to get out of choir rehearsal. I think choir rehearsal was part of my punishment.
No, I loved it.
Well, see, okay, so like you have that refined personality, and you know, for those that are listening from Freedom Radio, they get to see you and listen to you on Shop Talk every week. You have this refined personality. You always bring us back to the word, and you do so in such a calm way. And you have this, you have this air about you that's just really refined. But you have this, as you said, stated before, the name of your company is Wild Praise, and you have this other side of you. And I've seen a few videos where this other side of you comes out. Where did that Wild Praise come from?
Thank you, number one, for the compliment. I don't actually consider myself to be very refined like that. I've learned to speak my truth, and that's just now coming back again. Okay. Just, you know, speak, because I used to withhold. I still do a lot of times, but I used to withhold quite a lot because I remember someone saying to me, this is all to explain kind of where it came from. Someone say to me, Yolanda, no one wants to hear that. Don't say that. I just was thinking about this earlier today. Like, they would say, that's too much opinion. Mm. And keep your opinion yourself. And so it hurt me in other ways because I wouldn't stand up for myself. I wouldn't say what it was I was really thinking. You know, and people don't know, you know, if you don't know me, you know, I'm like a really super duper nice person. I'm very respectful, kind, and you know, all those kind of things. But when that stayed with me for years. And now I'm at this place where I just speak my truth. You know, even tonight there was a virtual, you know, meeting with my church. And probably even a year ago, I wouldn't have said the things I said today. Because I would have just been too, you know, like, I don't want anybody to take the wrong idea of me. So thank you for saying that. It's really like, wow. The other part is Wild Praise. There is a flip side of me. So, you know, growing up, I even though I'm a red bone, light skinned, curvy girl. But growing up, I was still red bone, but I was tall. People would never think this. I was tall, kind of tall and slender, right? And so I had the biggest voice in the choir stand. I just had this big old voice out of this little bitty body. And it was like that all my life. And so I used to watch, and there's so many ways I answer this question, but the best way to answer it is I used to watch a little bit of everything, right? Like people know I used to love rock a lot, like, like Bee Gees. I love the Bee Gees. So I used to watch music videos. I had to sneak to watch them because my mom didn't play that. So I had to, you know, watch videos and stuff like that. But I also grew up listening to, you know, a little bit of everything. The Mighty Clouds of Joy, which I still love to this day. The Mighty Clouds of Joy, Shirley Caesar, and then a little later on in life, like Kurt Carr, Donald Lawrence, stuff like that. And I remember vividly watching gospel videos. And so I used to stand in the mirror and watch the videos and mimic the videos, like the Tommies. Like that video sticks out in my head. That song Shout, like mimic them. And so then let's say push forward later on when Karen dropped her first album, I used to watch that video every single day without fail. I know the whole video backwards and forwards. Right. I had just never seen that. Even though my mom is beautiful and gorgeous, my aunties are amazing, they can sing. The Clark sisters were something very different. And so that's partly really kind of where it came from, because I think it was always there. But watching people from afar helped it to come out. And so when I would sing, it was like I would turn into another person. And people be like, I don't understand. Like, what just, and I'm like, I don't know. Sometimes when it happens in that moment, not in a weird way, I don't remember. Like, I have no inclination of what just happened. So I do, I feel like the stage, or, you know, it doesn't have to be a stage, but church or the mic, it's like a place of freedom for me. And I can just, once I tap out, I tap out. And, you know, so I'm really more, a little bit more shy than people would think. But once I tap out, I completely tap out. Because it's a place of freedom for me. It's a place of being able to let go. And so the tossing hair and all that, it's just my personal expression.
Yeah, because that's what I see. When I see you'll sing, and you're doing a wonderful job doing some vocal acrobatics. But then there's a moment in every song where you flip that hair. And when that hair flip, here come Wild Praise. Because I mean, it's like you said, it's almost like a switch is flipped. And I liken it to, I guess, sort of like a Sasha Fierce type thing, where you kind of embody something else. And I like how you describe that as a total freedom. I kind of have that because I am a extremely shy person. And I am an introvert. I really don't like talking with people. It's uncomfortable with me, especially, I know it's weird. One-on-one conversations, it's weird for me and I struggle with it. But when I stand up to preach, or even if I stand up to sing, it's like I have to tap into something different in order to express that in a different way. And the stage, the pulpit, the microphone, as you said, it gives a little bit of comfort for me in order to express that other side of me, because otherwise I'm very, very reserved. So I get that.
Well, I would never think that. Like you're talking, you know, you're doing these podcasts, you gotta talk to people, you have to see them.
Yeah, that kind of stuff is weird for me, but I can understand having to flip that switch and going into a place. And that's not to say that it's not a real thing. You know, I think people think that we perform that. And I don't think that's a performance. I just think that's just another part of us.
Yeah, it's really who I am or who I've become. You know, so when I said I watched the Tommies and I watched caring, and I watched this and I watched it. I really did. But the other side of it is people made fun of me too. You know, so people would say, Yolanda's doing gospel acrobatics again. You know, because, I mean, you know, when you say you're the choir, the hand movements, and I was doing that before, I almost want to say before it was popular, if I can say it like that. Because in the city I was in, I'm from Colorado. You know, you didn't hear, Colorado Mass didn't come along until I was 16.
Right, that, so, they came along really late.
Yeah, they came along much later. So my time Colorado Mass came along, it was kind of like slow moving. Now again, even though I grew up singing in this community choir called Voices of Faith, she was all about engagement and hand gestures and the whole thing. But when I stepped outside of that box, and I did it in another space, you know, doing what today is just normal, right? I remember people saying, oh, Yolanda's doing gospel acrobatics, or, oh, Yolanda's doing that again. So, you know, it took a different maybe kind of, I don't know, maybe a different level of strength to try to push past that and be yourself. I just think this is who I've always been. And one day God just gave me a name for it. And the name he gave me was Wild Praise, you know.
Well, that, like you said, it takes a lot of confidence. Do you think that you have, in a sense, over the years, struggled with any of that confidence in order to find that place where you are now?
Absolutely, positively, and unequivocally, to this day.
I think,
number one, because music changes so frequently.
Yeah.
What was amazing 10 years ago seems old. So I'll use a song like Be Grateful. Be Grateful by Walter Hawkins is probably one of my favorite songs in the world, right?
And the song you need to look up hearing Yolanda sing that, because she kills it. She absolutely kills it. I'm sorry.
Thank
go
you
ahead.
So much. I love that song. And I love the original. Like, I love the actual original song, right? So the song is like 30 years old. Mm-hmm. I don't have a problem. I'm 41. So that means the song is older than me. I take that back. The song is about 40 something years old.
I thought it was about 30 years old too, but okay.
Yeah, it's almost 40 years old, actually. I think the song is older than me. And so I thought I'd bring Be Grateful up because people in 2020, it still works, right? It still resonates with you. It still has impact. It still has power. And not just because I think, and I seriously, you know, I know I tiptoed this line real carefully. I don't think it's just because it's a Christian song or a gospel song. I think because when Walter wrote that, there was something that came out of him that embodied that song that to me, today we don't get a lot of. So I think sometimes I tussle musically because, or sometimes I think it's come a long way, but part of it is because music, it's so weird today, because today somebody's song can come out and 3 weeks later, nobody remembers it.
Right.
It's like, it's over. Yeah, it's really short lived. But then when you talk about it, Be Grateful, that's almost 30 plus years old. I just think it's a little different to be an artist these days. You know, I always tell people we don't live in 1955. Mm-hmm. Nobody is sitting at a soda shop hearing you hum a song and tap you and say, hey, I want to make you a rock. I mean, those days are long past gone.
Right.
And now with COVID, we have a whole nother type of thing going on. So artists, to me, are probably having an even bigger issue or difficulty. I don't know if I can go this direction. So it's really important, I think, a discussion someone had with me personally about me, that you know who you are. Because if you don't know who you are outside of a mic, you're going to have an even bigger issue.
Right.
If all you know is you in a church setting, behind a mic, or in a club, behind a mic, or wherever you do, you're going to have a hard time, especially seasons like this, when people aren't performing, when there are no festivals, when there aren't this and this and that. So yes, it's a daily process to overcome, because a lot of it had to do with my own personal childhood traumas and things like that. Just knowing, you know, that you're worth it, you're good, God made you, you're great. So yeah, we're conquering it day by day.
So you bring up today's music climate, and I think for me personally, the 90s was sort of like the golden era of Black music, and especially in gospel, because there was an explosion of crossover gospel hits, and we don't see much of that today. There may be some, there still may be some crossover hits that happen here and there, but we don't have the timeless music like we had 70s, 80s, 90s. Very few people are making timeless music. I mean, of course, you have still the Kirk Franklins and the Donald Lawrences. And even though we don't have that timeless music, is there any way that we can get back to that with the way that the industry has shifted? Is there any way that we can get back to making timeless music like that?
I think we can if we seek. I think we can if we seek not to focus so much on numbers. Mm-hmm. And focus more on the content. Focus more. Okay, so again, I use Walter Hawkins. I'm not saying that they didn't care about numbers then. But what I always think about is, it's so extraordinary to me that a Walter Hawkins and a James Moore, who were both extremely amazing, gifted men, could be in the same room together. And even though I might not even been born, right? But when I watch those videos today, I'm like, wow, how did all that talent exist in that room? There's a video on YouTube where they're saying, "Thank you, Lord." And it's Yvette Flounder, and it's Tremaine Hawkins, and it's Thomas Whitfield, James Moore. I mean, and the list goes on. And even when you watch it, the energy or the synergy of that, there just was no competition. Right. Everybody could be in their own self. And I'm not saying they didn't have struggles and situations. I'm saying that there was something, I think it is, they meant it. I'm not saying people today don't. I'm just saying that there was something about, there was a difference. And so sometimes we concentrate too much on the numbers, too much on the stats, too much on the boards, then we do the actual content, the actual message in itself. You know, where sometimes we get caught up in trying to reach just the millennials, or just the C generation, or just, what about just trying to reach people?
Yeah.
Let's try to do that. Right, so I've always told people, I want an album, I've always wanted an album, much like the James Moores and the Walter Hawkins, in a sense of their approach was to reach everybody.
Right.
Ooh, I just helped myself. Their approach was to reach everybody. It's not that you don't focus. It's not that you don't, you know, you want to have a song. I've always wanted to have a song that my cousins can skate to. I've always wanted that. I've always wanted to have a song that you can clean your house to, a song you can worship to, a song that lifts you, a song that pushes you. Okay, so that can't always be age-driven. You should be current in your content. But again, I think sometimes people choose one direct audience. And for me personally, I believe that God has given me this personal call or mission. You know, my mama's country. My mama still buys CDs. So I can't leave her out. You know, I'm serious. She does. Right. You know, my mom, like, send me that CD. And sometimes she slips up and says cassette. Right? So I certainly can't leave my mom and my aunties and Sister Sally down the way out. Right. I gotta make sure that I have content that can mimic, because I think sometimes we focus so much on every, you know, like we gotta focus forward. You do, but you can't forget how you got there. I can't forget the people that the church, the Baptist church I grew up in, and those people who supported me since a little girl, and they've been waiting years for music to come out of me. So I gotta make sure that I have something that ministers to all people, if it's possible. If that means I do a hymn, then that means that. So that's just my personal opinion. I think that sometimes people need to get back to great content. They need to get back to the message. We're speaking of gospel music, the message of Jesus Christ. What is the message? Everybody, he's not going to get everybody to talk about the same thing. But, you know, if you're just focused on making stats so I'm going to do this type of song so these type of people can see me, then you're doing it for the wrong reason. Wow, I heard Tamar Braxton say something one time when she was still a panelist on The Real, which I thought this was so remarkable. She said, I stopped watching the stats because they only mess you up. And I'm paraphrasing. She said, they only mess you up. She said, if you're not doing it for the passion of just doing music, you know, making people happy, giving people joy, something to hear or listen to, then you're doing it for the wrong reasons. And I took that and I ran with it and I agree. So I don't want to do it for that. Stats and stuff come and go. You can be famous one day and people not like you the next day. I don't want to do it for that. I'm not saying I want to walk red carpets and stuff. I'm just saying if I don't, I'm not any less Yolanda than I was before.
That's good. And you'd be surprised how much that even helps me. I gave up being an artist a long time ago, just simply because, you know, like I don't want to go through all that. But when we focus on the content that makes us more relatable, and when we focus on being ourselves, that focus on that narrowing of who I am actually makes us more broadly appealing. And I think that's really, really good advice. So as a singer, what advice do you have for singers and artists, worship leaders that are coming up trying to make a place in this particular space in the industry now?
Number one, again, be yourself. When you try to be something else than other, when you try to be someone else other than who you are or who God created you to be, you will always go after the wrong, Holy Ghost. You will always go after the wrong opportunity and you will always go through the wrong door because you're going for things that don't belong to you. So it's important to know who you are, start to finish. You're always gonna be evolving, but if you know this isn't your lane, you won't ever try to seek that because you know it's just not your lane. Right. I am not the like CCM girl. I can sing it, but you know that's not always my lane. There's a difference between being able to do it and knowing that's the lane God gave you. So be yourself. Know who you are. And in that, be yourself. You can't hang with everybody. That's just good old church. You know, you can't. Everybody can't go with you. And that is the truth. Yeah. Everybody is not made to be on big stages and places and in spaces. Everybody's not made to walk on red carpets. But on the flip side, everybody's not made to stand up in front of a group of people, no matter the size, and deliver thus said the Lord in song. Everybody doesn't have that capability because you have to do something that my bishop said to me the other day. You have to respect the people in front of you and not just the people behind you. Mm. When he said that, I thought, ooh. He said, most times we only respect the people behind us, the people singing with us, the band. We don't actually respect the people in front of us. And when you respect the people in front of you, it'll cause you not to be so much self-indulged. And you'll understand that you have an assignment. And then when you do that, you're able to hear God, as he would tell me, in the room. When you hear God in the room, something else can take place and a shift, deliverance, freedom, all that can happen when you release yourself to him in that way. It doesn't have to be deep and mystical. It just, you just open yourself up and you hear what he has to say and you follow forward. And just having fun, enjoying it, you know, maximizing those moments, be in the moment. When you get those opportunities, whatever they are, when they come to you, be in the moment, practice your gift. A lot of us have been singing sometimes for years. Sometimes we're new, sometimes we're in the middle, and sometimes you get comfortable and you feel like you don't have to do anymore. Mm-hmm. I personally don't believe gifts work like that. It's not like, it's not even, I can't even say it's like a mechanic. because new cars are always being built. So you have to continuously upgrade your craft, upgrade your gift. I now have the opportunity to be a part of Kevin Lemons and Higher Calling. And one thing I asked Kevin, okay, so, you know, he said, I'm not going to give you these churchy songs all the time. I want to expand you and stretch you, which is something I really wanted. And he encouraged me to listen to more than just gospel music because it'll expand you. It'll pull you. Even with Sunday Best, I'm sure people felt like, oh, why are they singing that? Because if you really want to be a great singer, you can't just listen to what's in your space. Right. You have to expand. It's like eating chicken and fries every day.
Right.
You limit your possibilities.
Right.
That's what I feel.
So I know you enjoyed that. She dropped so many gems and so many nuggets that we couldn't edit it all out. We had to give it all to you. So you're going to have to join us next week for part two of our conversation with Yolanda Wild Praise Morant. Now, this is what you're going to have to do. If you're listening to this through Freedom Radio, you're going to need to go to Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, wherever you listen to fine podcasts. Or if you're listening to this through any one of those mediums, go ahead and click the subscribe button so that you don't miss when the episode drops. You don't want to miss any of this conversation because she really helps us by explaining her graphic arts business and the do's and don'ts of working with a graphic artist. This is a phenomenal conversation that you don't want to miss. So go ahead and subscribe right now so that you don't miss the next part of this conversation with Yolanda Wild Praise Morant. This is the part of the episode where I open up the doors of the church for anyone who needs to come down and repent. For anyone who needs to stand before the congregation and even before God to confess their sins, who's done something so egregious that they have to plead and beg for forgiveness. So this week, it should come as no surprise when I open the doors of the church for President Trump. This week, Donald Trump has suggested that the U.S. November's presidential election be postponed, saying increased postal voting could lead to fraud and inaccurate results. He says in a tweet, and I quote, "With universal mail-in voting, not absentee voting, which is good, 2020 will be the most inaccurate and fraudulent election in history. It will be a great embarrassment to the USA. Delay the election until the people can properly, securely, and safely vote." So, let's get this straight. It's good to send our kids to school, but it's not good to go vote. So we expect our kids to go to school for 7.5 hours and people go vote for like 15 minutes. And both situations aren't mutually. I don't understand this, sir. I don't get this line of thinking, because if it's safe to go to school, it should be safe to vote. That's just me. Well, that's it. Thank you so much for joining again this week. I pray something has been said to encourage you and lift you up and to edify you in some way. If you enjoyed Yolanda and you want to connect with her, you can find her at Yolanda Morant or Wild Praise. That's WILDPRAIZE on all of the social media sites. And of course, you can go to YolandaMorant.com to learn more about her and her ministry. You can always follow me at I am Derek J. Murphy at all social media platforms except for Snapchat, because, you know, I don't do that. Again, if you listen to this podcast through any of the podcast outlets, especially Apple Podcasts, make sure to rate and review so that more people can learn about our little bit of encouragement. And if anything else, share it with someone in your social media so that people can learn about this show and connect with us as well. As always, know that God loves you best. I love you best I can. We'll see you the next time. Peace.